If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 17, and in just a moment we'll look at verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. Years ago, when I was a student in college, I heard somebody say this. It was preaching on a Sunday morning, and I heard this, and it stuck in my soul. Little faith, little power. Some faith, some power. Much faith, much power. I think you got that. Say it with me. Little faith, little power. Some faith, some power. Much faith, much power. Do you believe that? It's exactly what we want to talk about tonight. I want to talk to you about the perversion of unbelief. That's a pretty strong title, but it comes straight from the lips of Jesus. Did you know that once in a while, Jesus gets frustrated with his disciples? Did you know that? Frustration must not be a sin because Jesus got frustrated. And he had some bold things to say to his disciples. And I want you to look there with me and notice the questions that he asked. That's what we're studying all these Sunday nights. We always study the questions of Jesus because they're not for him to gain information. They're to make a point with us. He's teaching us something every time he asks us a question. And he's definitely doing that here tonight. Matthew 17, verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic." Literally in the Greek, he is moonstruck. He is a lunatic and is very ill. We're going to find out in just a minute he had a demon. This boy had a demon. Now, how do kids get a demon? It has to be from the sins of the fathers. The Bible says, "For he often falls into the fire, often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." And that is what irritated Jesus. Jesus answered and said to them, "Hey guys, I know that you're having a hard time, but can you do a little better?" That's not what he says, is it? "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." Now there's your little sweet, kind Jesus right there, isn't it? You said, did Jesus really say that? Sure he did. "You unbelieving, perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" A double question. "Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, that is, rebuked the demon. The demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" He said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you're going to say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." The perversion of unbelief. Little faith, little power. Some faith, some power. Much faith, much power. I heard somebody else say, if you've got the faith, God has the power. Well, let's look at it very quickly. First of all, the illness of mankind. The illness of mankind. This little demonized boy represents all of us, whether we like to think of it that way or not. Look at verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. He's very ill. He often falls into the fire. He often falls into the water." This tells you a lot about the devil. Now, two things had just happened prior to this. You got to understand the context if you want to understand this text. And you have to go back to chapter 16. You don't have to go back there right now. Literally, just think about it with me. Jesus is out with his disciples. When we go to Israel, one of my favorite places to go is Caesarea Philippi. We go there, and that's where Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Who do they say that the Son of Man is?" Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're one of the prophets. Well, who do you say that I am? And then under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father gave this to you. You got a word of knowledge, son. You got a word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit of God. God has revealed this to you. So they just had this glorious time where Jesus is identified by a spiritual gift that's given to Peter. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He knows, everybody knows now, it's out in the open. He's the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To put an exclamation point on that, when they got back, Jesus takes three of them, John, James, and Peter, and they go up on a mountain, and Jesus is praying. And while he is praying, his whole countenance is changed. I got news for you. If you'll pray, your countenance will change too. You won't glow as much as Jesus did, but you will be changed if you pray. And the Bible says his whole countenance was changing, and he was transformed into his glory, and all of a sudden they saw the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glory of God came down, and so did Moses and Elijah. What did they represent? They represented the Old Testament. They represented the law and the prophets. And here you have the three men, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, the only three in the Bible that we know of that each did a 40-day fast. And they're here, and they're with each other, and they're talking with one another. Can you imagine these fishermen, Peter, James, and John, just looking on and saying, wow, that's Moses, that's Elijah, and Jesus. And so Simon didn't know any better. He goes up and says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Now, that's the understatement of the night. It's good for us to be here. You know, sometimes you don't know what to say. You just open your mouth and something falls out. Amen? It's good for us to be here. Oh, Lord, let me make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And what he's doing is putting Jesus on the same level with them. And all of a sudden, a cloud comes over them, and the voice of God comes from heaven. This is all in the first part of chapter 17. A voice of God comes from heaven and he said, this is my beloved son. They can't see anything. This is my beloved son. Jesus is hidden. Moses is hidden. Elijah's hidden. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Good advice. And when God pulls back the cloud, nobody's left but Moses, but Jesus. Moses is gone. Elijah's gone. And what he's saying is, Moses is not my son in the sense of my beloved son. Elijah is not. These guys are not on the level with Jesus. With all due respect, the Old Testament is over. Now it's the New Testament. You don't have to listen. You can look at the Old Testament, but it's not your predominant thing now. There's a new covenant. My son is what you follow. Listen to him. There's a new way to be saved by grace through faith in Christ. Repent of your sins, and this is what I want for you. So they had all of this. They had gotten this divine word from God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, pointing to Jesus. Now, you would think that there'd be so much faith. So these three are coming back with the Lord. They've literally been up on the mountaintop. They're coming back down. There's nine of them down there, though, that are fighting with the demon. And they get down there, and the man speaks of his son's predicament. Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. He's very ill. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. The boy was mentally and physically challenged. He was ill because he was demonized. He was not all physical people who have physical sickness are demonized. I will tell you this, though. Everybody that I've ever met that was demonized had some sort of physical, yay, and emotional disorder. So not everybody that's physically sick has a demon, but everybody that has a demon is physically sick. The boy was acting in a self-destructive manner. The demon was trying to kill the boy. He often fell into the fire. He often fell into the water. He tried to burn him up. He tried to drown him. The demon did in him. No, that's what Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. You say, why is the devil so mean? Because he hates Jesus Christ, and Jesus is in you, and he hates you, and he hates your family. The devil has come against you and your family to kill and to steal and to kill and destroy. All people are his who love the Lord are his enemy. So we're sick with sin. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 3, all of us have lived among them. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We were by nature children of wrath. Somebody says, what do I have to do to become a sinner? You became a sinner. You have a sinful nature the moment you are conceived in your mother's womb. David said, I have been a sinner from my mother's womb. I have a sinful nature. I have a natural dispensation, a natural gravitation toward sin. But we're not only sinners by nature, we're sinners by choice. When there comes that time, we reach that age of moral responsibility, accountability. We choose to sin. Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned individually. We've chosen to turn to our own way. And the wages of sin, the just penalty of sin, is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. We have all sinned. And so we all have this spiritual sickness. We can understand what this boy is going through. This little kid is going through the problem because he was just conceived in this world. He's in a fallen state just like everybody else. He is a sinner by birth, and when he gets old enough, he'll be a sinner by choice. And when we see this little demonized boy, we think about us. We think about our predicament. We think about our sin, our spiritual sickness. Jesus said in Mark 2, verse 17, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, it's those who are sick. And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. Can I just say this to you? Whether you know it or not, you are spiritually sick. You have a disease that will kill you spiritually. It's called sin. We can all identify with this little boy the illness of mankind. Let's look at something else, the impotence of the church. Verse 16, I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. The disciples mentioned here were the nine. They had not seen the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. They had not seen Moses and Elijah and Jesus together. But this father had brought his demonized son to these nine disciples of Jesus, and they were impotent. They were unable to help the boy in any way. They were powerless to deal with demonic activity in the boy's life. This young man was being harassed by a demon. We'll see that later on. They simply did not have the spiritual knowledge, the spiritual ability to drive out a demon. When it came to helping this lad, these disciples were inept. We'll see why momentarily. This reminds me of so many churches in our day. What would happen right now if somebody in this room came under attack by a demonic force? Are we a church that prays enough? Are you a Christian that prays enough, walks in faith enough, believes the word enough, claims the promises of God enough that you could have enough faith to drive a demon out? I want to tell you this. It's awfully quiet in here, but I'm here to tell you, demons are real. Demons are real. And some people say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't have to worry about them. They'll never harass me. The devil harassed Jesus. Who do you think you are? The devil harassed Paul. Who do you think you are? He had a thorn in the flesh, which was a demonic attack. Go read about it in Corinthians. The devil harassed Peter. The devil harassed a lot of folks. Who do you think you are? Yes, there's a devil. Yes, there are demons. And it's not like you see about in these Hollywood films. It's not a power struggle. There aren't somebody's head spinning around. It is a truth struggle. It's all about the devil, who is the father of lies, and we who are standing in the truth. If you know the truth can set you free. And so here's a little boy He needs some help. He needs some mature people walking with God that know how to operate in the realm of discernment of spirits. The Bible does not talk about spiritual gift of discernment. Get over that. Doesn't talk about that. Go read the Bible. It says discernment of spirits. And you know what kind of demon you're dealing with. You know what is going on here, and you understand how to operate in the supernatural, and you know the power of the name of Jesus. You know the power of the Word of God. That's how Jesus fought the devil, with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit and with fasting. You know how powerful the Spirit of God is. Jesus said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. You understand. You're not going looking for this stuff. You're not going out. But when it shows up, you know how to deal with it. These guys could not deal with it. They didn't walk in faith, not yet where they should be. How many churches do you know like that? A prayerless church, that in the Bible is an oxymoron, a contradiction of terms. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of what? Say it out loud. Prayer. A church that doesn't pray has every right to question whether or not it is a true New Testament church. And yet these disciples, they'd been walking with Jesus. They were unable to pray effectively enough to drive out the demon that hindered this boy. They were spiritually impotent. How many churches do you know like that? Somebody came in, they were demonized. What do I do? Well, I don't know. Let me call down the street. I've heard this other church deals with that kind of stuff. Well, I know some people over here pray about that kind of stuff. I don't know how to. I don't want to be that. I want to say this to you. I'm not going looking for any of this stuff, but hear me. We're going to be operating. Every true church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible operated in the realm where they had to deal with demonic activity. You don't go looking for it, but the devil will come looking for you. Just like when Paul was out there witnessing in Ephesus, all these people coming after him, that was all demonic oppression coming against him. And aren't you glad that when the devil shows up, Jesus in you is greater than the devil in the world? You got to understand how to operate it. You got to understand how to walk in faith. And you know what? You don't know when it's going to come up. That's why you got to be walking with God. You've always got to be praying. You've always got to be prayed up, confessed up. You've got to be walking with God, full of the Holy Ghost, walking in the Word of God, ready with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, ready to deal a blow to the devil when he shows up. How many Southern Baptist churches do you know that operate like that? How many you know of them that are filled with faith, that are fervent in prayer, that are laboring in the Lord, and they're serious about what they're doing? So many of our Southern Baptist churches, they don't know about the prayer like Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane. When's the last time you broke a sweat like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed? Go look at it. It's in your Bible. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. He sweat so much that his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When's the last time you poured out your heart to God like that? That's why Jesus had no problem driving it out. That's why Paul had no problem driving it out. They lived in prayer. They lived with the Lord. That's where we've got to come. That's what I was trying to express this morning. Listen to me, folks. We are through with just Christianity, playing a little bit with it on Sunday morning, an hour here, there, an hour here, there. Jesus has to become our life. We're living in desperate days that's calling for people to come and really live for the Lord. How many churches do you know like that? A prayerless church is a powerless church. A prayerless church that cannot drive out demons has no business calling itself a church. The devil and demons laugh at prayerless Christians. They laugh at prayerless conservatives. What good is a prayerless preacher? What good is a prayerless deacon? What good is a prayerless Sunday school teacher? What good is a prayerless Christian? Demons don't fear them. Only those who live in prayer, only those who walk by faith, only those who live in the Word can have victory in spiritual warfare. We look at the perversion of unbelief. It's really, we're looking at the impotence of the church. Notice the third thing, the indignation of Jesus. I hear these people say, well, you know, it's a sin to get angry. Well, don't tell Jesus that, because he got angry. Jesus got angry and cleared out a whole temple one time. Oh, but he didn't hit anybody. That's just because they were fast enough to dodge. Bible said he had a whip. Some of y'all don't even know what a whip is. How many of you have been on the end of a whipping? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know what a whipping is. I can still, to this day, I'm 59 years old. I can hear Edgar's belt coming out of his britches right now. I can hear it. That left hand, when he pulled it out, it's over, man. You know, it's not time out, it's lights out. We could use a little of that nowadays. The indignation of Jesus. Jesus, verse 17, answered and said, "You unbelieving, you perverted generation." Can't you just see him looking at those guys? "You unbelieving, unperverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" There's the questions. Questions from Jesus. "Bring him here to me. I'll show you one more time how to handle this." Perverted. Diastrepho, it means depraved, crooked, bent. You guys are all bent up. You're all crooked. You're perverted. You're depraved because of your unbelief. He's frustrated with them. Pretty serious stuff. "Bring him here to me." He could not fathom that by this point, they had just heard him agree that he is the Messiah. God the Father had given Peter that word, and some of them had just seen him in all of his glory, and he can't believe that they're so far away from where they need to be. They had heard so much of his teaching. They had seen so many of his miracles, and they still possessed a perverted lack of faith, a perverted unbelief. I want to ask you, do you have that same sort of lack of faith? God has been good to you. So where's your faith? God has provided meal after meal, roof over your head, clothes on your back, cars to drive, on and on I could go. And the main thing is the blood of Jesus, and he's even put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's answered prayers when you've called on him. He's been better to all of us than we deserve. Where is our faith? We are an unbelieving, perverted generation. We don't walk by faith. And when you don't walk by faith, you cannot please God. Can't do it. He said, "Don't fuss at us." I'm not fussing at you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Do we believe at Bellevue Baptist Church that God is able and willing to work on our behalf when we cry out in prayer in any circumstances? I wonder, does Jesus ever look at me, Steve Gaines, and say, "Steve, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long, boy, am I going to put up with you? How long shall I be with you? Bring your problem to me. Quit talking about the problem in some group. Quit just using all your own little understanding and bring all this stuff to me. Pray about it and watch what I do." One more thing. The importance of faith. Look at verse 18. Jesus rebuked him. They brought that boy to Jesus. He didn't rebuke the boy. He didn't rebuke the daddy. He had already reprimanded his disciples. He looked at that demon and rebuked the demon. And you know what that demon did? That demon, all he could do is whatever Jesus told him to do. He came out of him. And look at it. The boy was cured at once. I've heard some people say, "Well, the boy was an epileptic." He may have been, but it was caused by a demon. Is all epilepsy caused by demons? No. But this boy had a demon. He said, "Why do you believe that?" Because the Bible says Jesus talked to a demon, and I don't think Jesus did that just to kind of, you know, yield to their beliefs. I believe Jesus literally knew what was happening. This particular boy had a demon. How he got it, I don't know. I think it was through sins of the fathers. But I will tell you this, he had a demon, and Jesus drove it out. He came to Jesus, and And Jesus drove the demon out. Then the disciples, verse 19, came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" And Jesus told them. Now, we don't like his answer, but he told them. He said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Now, that's kind of highlighted in the New American Standard because that is not in the earliest manuscripts. But verse 21 is mentioned in the parallel text that's given on this same account over in Mark 9:29, which is in the earliest manuscript. And notice what he said in the same instance. Jesus said to him, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." But prayer. Why do I talk to you about prayer all the time? It's the secret to the Christian life. It's like talking to somebody about you want to live, and then the first thing you need to learn to do is breathe. You want to live in the Christian life, you want to have victory in the Christian life, you got to learn how to pray. Prayer is breathing, spiritual breathing. That's what it is. You got to learn how to pray. And I like this phrase, "this kind." Shows me that there's different levels of demons. Some are harder to get out than others. How many of you know that there are certain people that are harder to deal with than others? Anybody know that? Well, just like there are people like that, there are demons like that. And Jesus said some of these can't come out but by prayer. Some of them you can just say in the name of Jesus, "Come out," and they'll come out. Others you have to pray and you have to fast and you have to really engage in warfare. There are different levels of demons. The Bible says that in Ephesians 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, arche, against the powers, exousia, against the world forces and of the darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Four levels of demons right now. Sometimes we face demonic forces that are stronger than others, but I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how strong they are, no demon is stronger than Jesus Christ. Greater is he who is in us, 1 John 4:4, than he who is in the world. But you got to walk in faith. You got to walk in faith to please God. You got to walk in faith to experience power over the devil. You got to walk in faith to experience victory in your life. You got to walk in faith for the sake of your family. Some of you need to start walking in faith. You can't walk in fear. You got to walk in faith. How do you do that? Here it is. I'm going to give it to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. You got to live in this book. You got to take a Bible bath every day. You got to saturate your brain, yea, your mind, yea, your soul. You got to live in the Word of God. Amen, sweetheart. Hold it up. Everybody see what that book she's holding up right there? That's what you're supposed to be in. Let's thank God for that little girl right there. Praise God. Hold it up as long as you want to. It doesn't bother me. Are you living in this Word? Do you watch television more than you read the Bible? Do you play around on the internet more than you read the Bible? Do you spend more time in the book of the month or the book of the ages? This is the Word of God. Do you know the Word? Well, God's been pressing that on me. It's not just praying. It's living in the Word. It's both. It's not either or. It's both and. I read it out loud. I want to hear it. I want it in me. I want the Word in me. I need to memorize the Word. I need to study the Word. But I need to just read the Bible. Just keep reading it, reading it, reading it. And somehow, I don't understand it. I'm just telling you this. I'm just telling you, the more I read the Bible, the more faith I have. And when I come against a demonic stronghold or anything else, I know that God is with me. And I know that the Lord has given me the authority to take over that in Jesus' name. Not on my authority, but based on the Word of God. And all I'm going to do is take the sword of the Spirit. And I know that the devil is afraid of that sword because Jesus stuck him with it three times out in the wilderness. All from Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8. He was just sticking the devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. You say, do you talk to the devil? I only quote scripture to him, brother. And he can't handle it. Somebody say, what in the world is going on with you? Why are you so fired up today? I want to tell you something. With all due respect, I've been spending a little bit more time with Jesus. I've been spending a little bit more time in this book. I've been spending a little bit more time with the author of this book, talking this book. I'm not trying to brag to you. I'm just trying to tell you, God's stirring in my soul that if we've got a window of time, and I'm telling you, God, that window is closing. We've got just a little bit of time. I'm telling you, God is saying to America, it's time to straighten up. It's time to repent. It's time for my people, called by my name, to humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Washington is broken. Washington is broken. Conventions are broken. Politics are broken. Nashville is broken. Judgments, or centers of judges, all that, the judicial system is broken. The only thing that's going to take care of it is the church getting revived, turned on to Jesus, really living in the Word, walking in prayer, walking in faith. That's what I'm talking about. And I can't stop talking about it because that's what the Lord is burning in my soul. So what's holding you back? What's holding your faith back? Unconfessed sin? No sin is worth walking in mediocrity. Get rid of it. Little time in prayer, change your habits. You got just as much time as anybody else out there. You're just not using it wisely. Little time in the Word, get out of the book of the month, get in the book of the ages. Whatever is keeping you from going on with God, walking in faith, get right with God. At all costs, avoid what God calls the perversion of unbelief. You unbelieving, perverted generation. I don't want to hear that at the judgment seat. I want to hear well done, don't you? You're not going to hear well done unless you walk in faith. And you're not going to walk in faith unless you walk in the Word and prayer and believing. And then when a demon shows up, you got the authority to cast it out. Amen? Amen. All right.